We've been in a series, their third week, Mind Battles. And if you wasn't here on the last two Sundays, I can't catch you up on that. You'll need to go on the website and download it, or you can watch it on Vimeo. But you want to catch up on Mind Battles, because very important series as it relates to how the enemy can work in your life. He can't own the house, but he can possess the house. He can oppress the house. And he can manipulate his way in and you not even know he's there. And today you're going to realize through the message that the enemy can come in, and you didn't realize he came in when you was a child, and you're still allowing him to be there. Today the Lord's going to give you an opportunity to put him on the road, shut the door, and let him know he can't come back in, because that room and that spot is reserved for Jesus and him alone. Okay? Very important thought that we're going to talk about today. But I want you to turn your attention to the screen and take a moment and, you know, think about what you're seeing here. Now somebody, or some of you may be seeing a family. Others may be seeing the image of a dog or a wolf. But I want to ask you a question here, depending on what you see. Jesus wants to know where you think the wolf is in your life, or where you think the dog is in your life. And I got a precious little dog I love to death. But the Lord has something to say about the wolf and the dog as it relates to where we are walking with him. I'm not going to pick on my little puppy, but I am going to pick on the enemy. Is that okay? Because Jesus has something to say about that. And so a signal of caution. Some are becoming more aware of God's voice, but you have yet to follow what he's saying. Anybody here? Don't raise your hand. Okay, I've done it too. I've heard him, but I debated with him, or I just pushed it off and said, okay, I didn't hear that, and didn't go do it. And that's not cool. Following Christ, though, for everybody, so you can relax, it's good news. When you're a follower of Christ, an experience comes with that. An experience that lets you know that he's with you, that he'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you. The kind of experience that will give you a knowing that you have power and authority to have dominion over what we're talking about in this series, Mind Battles. Does anybody ever have mind battles? Everybody does. You don't have to succumb to these mind battles. You can have dominion over them. But the experience that God has promised us is the promise of the Holy Spirit in fire. It is the key in keeping you and moving you forward, so that you're able not just to hear what God's saying, but now you can follow it. You can do what he's saying. And so how many like believing that you're on the Lord's side, but listening to and following him has been a problem? Okay. You don't have to raise your hand, but if you do, that's okay. I understand, been there. If it's a problem with you right now, let me encourage you. You don't have to stay there, but that is a sign of bondage. That's a big sign of bondage. Last week we talked about the number one door that we leave open in our life, and that's pride. We found out that what happens when we leave that door open, through illustrations of Peter the Apostle, he left it open and it cost him. And pride comes before destruction, right? And so God don't want you to be destroyed. So he'll work with your arrogance for a little while and let you fall several times, so that he can get you to a place where pride can't really be Lord in your life and cause destruction. But it's a mean spirit. It's a demon. And by the way, when I say the word demon, don't freak out. Hear me. Freak out in the respect you ain't gonna let him stay in your life and have influence in your life. But Hollywood has painted a picture of demons that you're adopting, many of you adopt today. And that's not... Demons come in another way. They come looking just like you and me. Yeah, Satan himself comes as an angel of light. Matter of fact, he comes in such a way, Joey, don't he? Amen, that he'll make you think he's Jesus. And he will cause you to bow and worship him as Jesus and be okay with a tradition, a religious tradition, that instead of Christ is Antichrist, and it's in your life. And most believers don't know this. So whatever Hollywood is painted in your mind about demons, cast that down. They want you to think that about them. But they come as religious spirits. Amen. And they're okay that you go to church. They just don't want you to be the church. They're okay with saying amen, preacher. Just don't do what you said amen over. Amen. That's how the enemy works. And Jesus made it clear, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep clothing. Inwardly, they're ravaging wolves. Know where the wolf is. Understand that. Only a few be there that find the way that Jesus is talking about. But in the religious world, many, he said, many will say to me in that day, did not we cast out demons, do many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus said in Matthew 7, I don't know who you are, ye that work iniquity. So the enemy, demons, whatever you want to call them, spirits, wolves, dogs, Jesus names it, they go to church. And they like you wearing a religious identity that's not Christ. It may look like Christ, and it may appear to be Christ, and you're using the term Christ and Jesus and Lord, but you're locked down. You're in bondage. Can believers be in bondage, professed believers? And so we're addressing three more doors that are in our life as believers, if we're not careful, that we will leave open, and the enemy will come in and steal, kill, and destroy. What's he after? He's after your faith. He's after hope. He's after the love of God that's supposed to be in your life. He wants to put in your life fear, doubt, and unbelief. Amen? And he does that because he does it in a manipulating way. The first door that God wants us to address today is continued iniquity. Continued iniquity. Jesus is talking to a group that says that they believe. And notice what he says to them. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he's letting them know you're going to be intimate with this truth. You're going to have an experience. You're going to know it. That's experience. And you're going to be freed because you know that he's with you. He's going to keep you. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus turns to the Jews, his first verse, who had claimed to believe in him. They claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are then my disciples for sure. You will experience for yourself the truth, and the truth will free you. Verse 33, surprise, these people that claim to be believers said, but we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. Now, I just want to pause for a minute. They're saying this, and Israel had been enslaved to multiple nations. And while they're saying this, they're enslaved to Rome at the same time. And they're saying, we've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say the truth will free you? Jesus said, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. I'm reading from the Message version to help you better with our cultural languages here. A life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. A slave is a transient. In other words, they're temporary, who can't come and go at will. But the son, though, has an established position, the run of the house. So if the son sets you free, you are free through and through. Now, this passage I just read to you is the best illustration of churchgoers being in bondage and being blind to their bondage as professed believers. Best illustration I can give you today. And potentially some of us here today are dealing with areas in our life that we're going to, in the next few moments, realize that we have been in bondage. And just like churchgoers in scriptures, some are saying, I can't believe the subject at New Life Fellowship amen, is about believers in bondage and being set free. Can you believe pastors talking about that today? Don't they know we're Christians? We've never been in bondage. When we make this statement, and we all have a tendency to want to make that statement, what we're actually verifying that we're in bondage to religious tradition. And religious tradition is not the kind of door you want left open, because it makes you think that because you've done something good from your lens of what equals good, that you're okay with God and that makes you righteous. No, our righteousness is based on who He is, not what we do. Anybody get that? And so when religious tradition is involved in my thinking, it causes me to support the door of pride, fear, lust, anger, and we'll justify all kinds of things because I got a scripture or I got a Bible study that backs me up. And we're not happy. We're not at peace. We're frustrated. We don't know what's wrong. It's got to be the devil coming against me. Yeah, no, he's not just coming against you. He's puppeting you. You're in bondage to it. They tell Jesus, we've never been in bondage. Jesus responds, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is in fact a slave. Now, you and I can choose today to be the son of God. We can be children of God, or either we can choose, amen, to be a slave. It's our choice. Every day we get up, we have a decision to make. Is it going to be life or is it going to be death? Amen. And I just tell you, the temptation, amen, to choose death is huge. Somebody said, how in the world? Because you and I like to think we're smart. We're not smart. But the enemy's convinced us that we're pretty smart. And he uses logic and knowledge to convince us we're special. And the Lord uses His Spirit to convince us we're special. And in His Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, the lust of my flesh wants praise, wants to be acknowledged. And the enemy knows that. And so he's working overtime every day to get you to get up every morning and put God on hold and go live out your day and make yourself God. And you and I would never say that's what we're doing. But the moment I choose death over life, the moment I choose not to walk with God that day, I'm saying to God, I don't need you. I got it. And God mercifully will let me play that game. And He'll let me fall and fall and fall until I get humble enough to cry out to Him. And He'll come to me. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, I have too. The word choose in this passage actually means to formulate a plan, to commit to. Whoever formulates a plan is already in bondage to sin. It's what you and I are about to do that's about us, that's not God's plan. Has anybody ever done anything because you were doing it for you? I need some time for me. I need to go do this for me. Anybody ever done that? And so, I know, man, the temptation to do that is ever more in front of me. But the moment I decide to give God His props and resolve that I need God more than me, guess what God does? He'll take care of me. Because guess what God wants me to do? He wants me to go love on you. And if I love on you, He'll love on me. Oh, it's all over the Bible. When you're more concerned about the needs of others, including your spouse, your children, your brothers and sisters, the employer, the employees, when you're more concerned about the needs of others than yourself, next verse, this is the mind of Christ. When I tend to you being as special as God says you are to me, He tends to me being as special as I am to Him. It's amazing how it works. But the temptation to think of myself more than I should is before me every day. And so the enemy that I have to deal with more than anything, amen, is the spirit that's convinced me, amen, that I can do this on my own. I don't need God. Every person alive today either has or has had a sin in their life that they formulated, they've nursed it, and they kept it alive, and they hid it. every one of us. Don't have to go there right now. We can all humble ourselves to that reality. We've done it. Planned sin is not a weakness. It's bondage about you, though. And it's real. Paul said it this way to the Romans in Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience to God leading to righteousness? You can go to church and still be in bondage to the devil. And you can look good while you're doing that. God gives us a choice. We can be free in our service, or we can be in bondage to our service. Any life changers here? Raise your hand if you're a life changer. Have you ever been doing something as a life changer and you was frustrated while you were doing it? Oh my goodness, I got to go to church today because I've committed to being a life changer and I'm supposed to be serving this man. Bondage. This is good. We go to church sometimes because we want to be associated with something that equals good in our thinking. But instead of letting the one who is good meet us there, or meet us at home, or meet us in our little war room, our little closet where we can talk to him, and give us what we need before we go, we don't get free first. We'll come to church, put on the life changer smile, and we'll serve in bondage. And that's not okay with God. Is this okay? Talking like this? And when you get through, you haven't achieved anything that moved you farther. All you did is work yourself into a little bit more of a bondage state of thinking to where you get more frustrated. So a frustrated life changer is a life changer in bondage. God says this to his children in Jeremiah 7 and 8. And this is referring back to the Chaldean spirit, which we made reference to, amen, in the second message. Look here, what he says. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And then come stand before me in this house which is called by my name. I'm going to pause for a minute. I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about you as the temple of the Holy Spirit. We sometimes don't realize that God's objective is this, know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit and you're not your own? You've been bought with the price. And what was that price? The blood of Christ, right? That you are the house of God. Now put yourself, the person you look at in the mirror, the body that you've been accountable to steward for God, put your body there, because when you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized in his name. You come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name. Everyone here that's been baptized in Christ, you're called by his name. You're the house of God. And say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. Now, everybody remembers, if you read the story, Jesus braids a whip and he goes to the temple to do what? To get the thieves out of the temple, did he not? Everybody read that before? And first thing we want to think, well, yeah, man, Jesus was totally out of character then. No, he's not. Because now, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire to do what? To get the house clean. He asked us first to agree with him. Lord, I can't make this walk on my own. I got a lot of baggage. I got weights and sins that beset me. I don't know how you're going to help me. And he said, I'll show you. I'm going to give you an experience. Holy Spirit and fire. Why? Because he's going to clean house. And Jesus is given a demonstration that you're his house. And when he went in there with a whip, he went in there not to be mean to people, but as a signal of, amen, thieves and robbers are not okay in my house, because my house is the house of prayer. Amen. My house is a place where I commune with those I'm in love with. Amen. And so if you thought for a moment today that you had something going on in your house, you had some thieves and robbers, you would go home today in your physical house, in the community you live in, and you'd get those thieves out of there, wouldn't you? And you'd kind of do it like Jesus did. It's like with a whip. You'd make sure they understood, you are not welcome in my house. Get out. Right? Well, if you're that way about your physical house in the community that you live, on that street that you live in, how much more is God that way about the house that belongs to Him? He don't like it. He ain't okay with it. It's not good that any thief's in His house. He wants it out. And so He comes to His temple and He cleans it. Why are abominations in His house? His children trust in lying words that say God is speaking when it's self-serving. You said God said. You're listening to a lying spirit. That's what God's saying here through Jeremiah to the house of Israel. Now, does that word apply to us today? Is there a bunch of religious voices in our world? Is there all? Jesus said there's many going to come in His name. Now, if Jesus is saying many is going to come in His name, we know there's a bunch of spirits at work trying to convince you that they're Jesus when they're not. And just so long you say, I believe in Jesus, Jesus said, these are the signs of them that believe in me. They shall cast out demons in my name. They shall lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. They shall speak with new tongues. Come on, I'm talking to you. What Jesus said is a sign for them that truly believe in the right Jesus. And as a believer in Christ, we're witnesses of Christ, and there's some things we do as witnesses of Christ, don't we? We baptize and we make disciples. Well, I've come to realize that people that go to church, most of the people that go to church have very little, if any, signs following them that they believe. Now, the question is Jesus a liar and a counterfeit? Or is He telling the truth? And we need to address some things about where we are in this relationship between us and God. Some of you are thinking, man, boy, that's a hard message. No, I'm putting the enemy on notice because you're here today because you're serious about this with God. That's why we're going to do 21 days of prayer. And it's going to be fun. You're going to be excited about it. And on day 22, you're going to pray more. And you're going to find yourself encouraging people. And you're going to see that signs begin to follow because the gifts are going to start stirring up in your spirit. Amen. Because you want to be happy. Because some of you are here today and you're not happy being the believer you are. Matter of fact, you're beat up going to church. And reason, amen, you're sick and tired of church because you always get the same thing. You're looking for something that's real right now. You're looking for an experience in God that will change you, amen, and you can be who God says you truly are. But you have to address that there's a thief and a robber or there's enemy at work in your life. You got to address it and make a conscious decision today that I'm going to agree with God. I'm going to agree with Him. And when you repent, that's what that is. It's you're changing the way you think. Lord, I agree with you, and I don't know what to do with me. I'm messed up. But if you'll change the way you think today and say, Lord, I agree with the way you think, you'll start living different. Why? Because He's going to meet you where you make that change in your thinking. When you change the way you think, when you change your heart condition, He meets you there to change that heart from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Amen. You become the Adam you were designed to be, to tend to His business, to be walking with His voice. Amen. God tells Israel, you say, we are delivered. We are free to do all these abominations. And then the Lord's saying to Israel, are you serious? Do you think that you're free to do these abominations? He's getting on to them. Amen. And so it is. If that demon's there, if those thieves are there in your physical house, you're going to go get them out, right? And God's the same way. Second door that God wants us to address today is continued infirmity. We started with, amen, continued iniquity. Well, I don't know why I keep doing all this stupid stuff. I don't know why I keep saying these things that are off the wall. I don't know why I keep acting out of character, iniquity. But then there's continued infirmity. This is not every case, ladies and gentlemen. But continued illness can be a sign of an enemy coming in, and he has brought illness with him when he comes in your house. And I'm not saying that every time that you get sick, it's a demon. I'm not saying that. I am saying that demons can, and they do bring sickness, according to Jesus. Demons want to steal away your health. They don't want you to be effective as a believer in God's kingdom. Luke 13:11, this will help you. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Underline that, spirit of infirmity, 18 years, would bend over and could in no ways raise herself up. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the rulers of the synagogue, or a ruler of the synagogue, the local pastor of Jerusalem, answered with indignation because Jesus healed on the Sabbath and said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath." Now, keep in mind, there is no biblical, that's not in the Bible. It is in the Bible right now because we're reading it. But it didn't come out of the law. It was a law they added. Notice this. The Lord answered him. This is what Jesus answered to the local pastor of Jerusalem. "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman," notice this, "being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound," think of it now, "for 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath." This bond on the Sabbath. Now, Jesus calls this lady a daughter of Abraham, but the religious group we just heard, he refutes them being in their claim being the sons of Abraham. But he's calling her a daughter of Abraham. Jesus lets this religious group know that this is a daughter of Abraham, and because she is, she deserves to be delivered because she's a believer. Oh, if Jesus says you're a believer, you're a believer. Now, you might say you're a believer and not be a believer. Has anybody ever done that before? My actions speak louder than my words. There's been times I was displaying myself as a believer and I wasn't. But if Jesus calls me a believer, mark it down. I get all the benefits of being that believer. Why? Because I believe in him. I'm subject to him. I let him be Lord of my life. Come on, that's a real believer. They listen and they follow. "My sheep hear my voice," he said. "I know them and they follow me." That's a believer. But if you're not following what the Lord's speaking into your life, put the enemy on notice right now as I talk to you the next few moments that he cannot stay there. That only God deserves the right to be in your life. In Galatians 3 and 7, this will help you. Paul writes to the Gentile believers. He says, "Know that only those who are of faith, to the Gentiles," he said, "are sons of Abraham." Most believers don't believe what I just read. Verse 29, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." When you believe in Jesus, you are somebody special. And he will recognize you. Belonging to Christ simply means this: we remain in his word. And what that means is, I only say what I hear my father say, and I only do what I see my father do. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was an example of that. Jesus taught that. Jesus exampled that. If you're challenged when you hear him speak to do what you see him do, bondage. And I know good and well right now that every one of you want to be a blessing to the one that gave it all for you. And I'm telling you, this message is a message of hope to let you know you can serve the enemy. Notice, you don't have to put up with him there. If you get any kind of an insightfulness today, or you get a clue that you are that powerful that you can put the enemy on notice and evict him out of the house, guess what? You're going to do it. You need some good news today. You need a message of hope. I don't have to stay frustrated. I don't have to say down and out. It's not okay that I'm beat up in my spirit and my mind. I can live and I can have life more abundantly. You can put the enemy on notice today if you can get that kind of message of hope. So this is good news. Amen. Deuteronomy 28 and 58, pretty strong message here. It says, "If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God." Then notice this. If I hear it, but I don't go with it, I don't let God help me and work this word through my life, then the Lord will bring up on you. It's not that he's actually doing it with his own finger. It's just that the enemy's defeated and he works for God. And by the way, the enemy can only come, didn't we hear this last week? He can only come in by permission. And guess what? If the enemy sees a door open in your life, he can go and ask for permission, and God has, by his own law, give him right into your house because you left the door open. Is anybody getting this? This is what he's saying here. If you don't shut the doors on anything that's not my word and my will, this is what's going to happen. The enemy's coming, and he's going to ask for permission. And because you left the door open, he has right into your house. And guess what's going to happen? He's coming in your house. And the Lord says, this is what's going to come upon you and your descendants. Extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt. And this is what the world wants us to have now. Of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also every sickness, every plague, which is not written in the book of the law, which the Lord bring will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, religious tradition is an open door for fear to enter. And the only reason that as a believer I'm trying to work hard to be right with God is because I fear in. I'm just going to tell you right now. And it's scary, amen, when you hear someone talk about you're saved by grace, not by works. Because people that have a problem with that, that's in the Bible. And that's taught by Jesus, and that's taught by the apostles. The people that have a problem with that, there's a spirit of fear. The enemy is in their life plundering with them, because we're only saved because of his righteousness and the blood he shed. Guess what? When you get saved, you'll get so appreciative, you'll do a lot of good things for Jesus. But those things that you're doing are not saving you. His blood is saving you. His mercy is saving you. His grace is saving you. Amen. When you experience God, you get so appreciative you can't do enough for him. And by the way, he'll do a lot more for you than you can do for him when you put him in right perspective. Amen. And so people that were delivered from oppressive spirits in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. Did y'all get that? He healed people that were oppressed. He dealt with the spirit, and they got healed. Acts 19:11. God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Did y'all see the spirits and healing together there? God will go out of his way to reveal open doors in our lives. And he's doing that right now. Let me just tell you right now, I'm a good news preacher. And when God's dealing with me to talk about mind battles and talk about how the enemy works, I'm not wanting to preach on this Sunday, because I don't want to talk about what's not good going on, amen, in a believer's life. I want to tell you what's right that's going on in believers' life. Anybody understand that feeling? But I have to do what, I get to do what the Lord's saying, but there's a part of me saying, no, you have to. Well, I've got to that conclusion because I'd rather do what he's saying than what I want to do on my own. It don't pay off. The Lord wants you to know you're special. And so this day is not one of my favorite messages, but the Spirit says it's one of his favorite. He wants to know, do you love him? He wants to know that you want, are you willing to go with him where you've never been before? And to go there, you've got to leave some things. You got to cast some things out and shut some doors. You got to make some decisions today. Third door God wants us to address: continued influence. We've talked about iniquity. We've talked about sickness. Now we're talking about influence. Why do I keep doing stupid? Why do I keep doing this? Well, my granddaddy and my great-granddaddy and my great-great-great-grandma and man, I'm doing all the stuff they used to do. Got all this stuff going on in my life. And there's a reason why you keep doing what you keep doing. And God wants you to know you can shut the door on it and renounce it today. In Mark 7:24, this is really good. From there, he arose and he went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first." And he's talking about filled with the Spirit first, is what he's talking about here. Let them get what they need, then I'll come to you and take care of you. "For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Somebody said, "My goodness, that is so unkind. What? Why is he being rude?" Jesus can't be rude. He's always kind. He's always gentle. He's always good. He can't be. So automatically, if you think he's being rude to her, he's not. He's trying to give her a revelation of what's going on. Does anybody want to know what that revelation is? Yeah, you do. "And she answered and said to him, 'Yes, Lord, not, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs.' And then he said to her, 'For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter.' And when she came to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed." Now, what is the significance of this Syrophoenician woman that's going to give you and I a revelation of what Jesus is talking about? Why did he call her a dog? You see, Phoenicia is noted as the territory where the seed of paganism came out of and came into Jerusalem, into Israel. Matter of fact, Jezebel came out of Phoenicia, and she brought with her false gods, paganism, and witchcraft to Jerusalem, to Israel. Now, she's also a Syrophoenician, this lady. And Syro means Syria. And Syria, amen, carries the image of pride with it throughout the scriptures. And so I asked you the question, could it be that many believers, many professed Christians, are mixed, have this mixture of pride and paganism in their life? Can we be so prideful as a believer that we believe, because we're of our pride, that dabbling in the occult will not affect us? Is it possible? Have we condoned some things that we know Jesus had something to say about and was written through the prophets? God nailed it to the, he nailed it down. Don't be caught with this. As believers, would we actually dabble in the occult? And so I challenge you. If I'm digesting movies that are demonic, if I'm letting my children watch things that could be from cartoons that have demonic connotations to it, if I'm giving my kids video games and feeding them to my kids that have wickedness attached to it, what about horoscopes? What about seances? What about tarot cards and fortune telling? What about celebrating, amen, a holiday that honors ghosts, goblins, and witches? That's connected to the cult. And God had something to say about it. You know, Halloween comes from this root word called hallowed. You know what that meaning is? Worship, to give worth to the occult. Do we have so much pride that we've decided because I can use grace as an opportunity to have it my way at Burger King? And we use grace as a license, and Paul said, God forbid that you do that. We use it as an opportunity to go out and sin. And he's writing to the church when he says, God forbid that you would do that. And then he's letting them know, this is why you're having all this trouble in your relationship. This is why you're having all this trouble in your life. This is why you're going through this. It's because you've become arrogant. And in your pride, you're thinking, oh, I'll get away with it. I wonder if dressing your children up to look like figures of the occult is an open door. Just asking. This Syrophoenician woman, and I know we got quite a New Life Fellowship. This Syrophoenician woman came out of an occult background, and her daughter had demons controlling her body because her mother left doors open. And her mother is saying, help me, Jesus. My daughter needs to be delivered. And so I asked you the question, does what we do demonstrate where our allegiance is? What we do demonstrates our allegiance and where it is. And so if you need to your future to be red. Let me encourage you. Somebody said, "Man, I need God. I'm gonna go down to the tarot card or the palm reader, because I need my future read." Why don't you let God read your future? Why not just take a moment and have a dialogue with Him? Open up the book called the Bible and start letting Him lead you through the scriptures, and let His word, His voice, start coming out of off the pages, and let Him tell you about who you are and your future. What about Ouija boards? What about Dungeons and Dragon games that we teach, that they actually teach our kids to do spells and incantations? Does anybody know this is going on? It's real. Now, let's see what the Lord has to say about this, and I'm going to bring it to a close in the next few moments with good news, because the enemy's shaking right now, and your idea of what he looks like, he's freaked out, because he's afraid you're going to believe that you have the authority and the power to turn this ship around. Amen, in Jesus' name. Deuteronomy 18:9, I'm sorry. When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of the nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Now, I'm just going to tell you, has God ever changed? Or is He the same yesterday, today, forever? And if God's the same, does this word change? Does He mean business about this? And is it His plan to drive those spirits from out before us? Is the world dark today? Is there stupid stuff going on in our world? Is there demon activity in our world? Well, in America, you may not see it. It's domesticated. But it's there. And it's hiding behind all kinds of ideas and figures. But you can go in a third world country and they'll manifest before you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Right now, we put medical names on them. And we've hidden them. And they don't really exist. Yes, they do. I'm letting you know this, that if you've been around this as a child and you thought that it was innocent, today God wants you to know you have an opportunity, because of how powerful you, everybody in this room is powerful. You can renounce it. And because you renounce it, that's a mind change. That's a heart change. God said, "I'll meet you there at repentance. I'll meet you there when you say, 'Amen, I agree, Lord. I need this stuff out of my life.'" He will meet you there in that agreement, and you can begin to shut the doors, and the enemy has to go. That's how powerful you really are. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman, is asking Jesus to deliver her daughter from this unclean spirit. And if you don't understand the Bible, you will miss what Jesus is saying. Let me feel the children first. It's not good to give what belongs to the children, the children's bread, and throw it to the dogs. Amen. Right here in Revelation 22 and 14, let's consider what's not in heaven. Let's follow this. "Blessed are those who do His commandments, for they that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexual immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." His representation to this lady, he said, "Ma'am, the believers are the ones I give the bread to. You're not a believer. I can't give you this because you don't believe." An unbeliever from Jesus' land. He's just saying, he says, I can't give it to an unbeliever, which equals a dog from his lens. But I can give it to those that believe. That's why it's reserved for the children called the believers. This is the children's bread. Today, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you is that if you've been associated with anything that's connected to the occultism, that's connected to iniquity, connected to, amen, a life that you've been sick for 30 years and you've accepted the role that, hey, you know what? I've been sick. I just got to put up with it the rest of my life. You don't. That's a lie. Did anybody ever thought, you know, anybody, you ever been told you're accident prone? Anybody ever been told that? And you accepted because they spoke that out on you. And next thing you know, you just keep having accidents. And you know, tell how many bones you broke and how many accidents you've had. And because you believed it, it was spoke on you. That's a lie. You don't have to be accident prone. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be tied to iniquity. You don't have to have this continual influence of the enemy in your life. The Lord wants you to know that righteousness, peace, and joy belongs to you because He paid your debt off. You're free.